Who's the next candidate? The Honorable Mohapi, Honorable Mbambo Sibukwana, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Zenge, Honorable Zwa, and Kongi. Can I have the staff members, please? Let's arrange to have the candidates here so that immediately when we finish, the next one comes. Can you please help me? No, we will break for. Maybe we can take two before we break. We are late. We can walk out and grab something and we get the next candidate. But we are terribly behind schedule. So let's try and speed up the process. Madam Sandile Majozi, welcome to the service for the appointment of members of the NYDA. My name is Fiji Makulani. I'm with the council person here, Honorable Masema Lopole. On my right is members of parliament who are serving in this ad hoc committee on the appointment of members of the NYDA. So you are most welcome. You must feel free and relax. Just before I proceed, can I ask members of staff to. We don't have to waste so much time waiting for the next candidate. Please just prepare them. As soon as we finish, the next candidate must come in because we are running terribly late behind schedule. Please. Okay. Miss Majoli. I would like you to just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, your background, educational qualifications, what do you offer to the NYDA board.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Sandile Majozi. I am a 31-year-old female. I'm in Johannesburg. I finished my matric in Morris Isaacson, then went to do the National Diploma of Human Resources, but I did not finish it, and worked at the Human Development City of Johannesburg as a youth career development, and also has been a board member of the NYDA for the past 3 years. I have served in the NYDA and have served in the two committees that are Human Resource and Remuneration and the Audit Committee. In my experience there, I can say that working with young people has made us realize that how important it is to integrate government and civil society and also private sector. None of that above, but on my own, I had an experience of sitting in the audit committee and sharing all the financials and compliance of the NYDA. And in all that, I've seen that I am valuable in the NYDA because we came up with a clean audit in our 2014-2015 year, and of which when we got there, it was a mess. It was the irregular findings of about 607 million, but we managed, by the time that we came out, that we managed to sort all those irregularities in terms of compliance. And in terms of the committee that I sat in also of the AGR, we did our restructuring of positions. That that money is to decrease the number of employees or the number that is there in the NYK, that in fact it decreases the amount of the budget that was provided by the shareholders up to 25%. So in all the committees that I've sat on, I've experienced a lot of things, and I've experienced working with young people. You need patience, you need to know what is it that they are struggling with. And I know that coming back into the NYDA, I will bring the same compliance of good governance, I will bring the same compliance of good ethics and values. So that is what I have to say.
Thank you very much, Madam Mohan. Thank you very much, Nema Jozi. Good afternoon. You have elaborated a lot. To my friend, I only resort to one question. NYDA is regulated in terms of the provisions of the NYDA Act. There's a specific function, there's a specific section that outlines the stipulations around functions that are expected from NYDA. Can you elaborate?
Thank you, Honourable Member. The functions of the NYDA are the economic participation. In the economic participation, it seeks to deal with the business part of it, providing young people with grant programs, and providing young people with other financial assistance and non-financial assistance in the economic participation. And then also we deal with national youth service and social cohesion. National youth service seeks to bring about young people who need employment and who are willing to get skills on that certain program that is on the National Youth Development Agency. And then we take all these young people and then give them skills and then provide them also with stipend on the National Youth Service and also social cohesion. Social cohesion in terms of families and communities, that is when it all comes in, that young people are part and parcel of families and the community. So it is not only the families that need to build this young person, but also the community at large. It needs to build this young person or the youth development in large. And also we have policy and research. In policy and research, it's where we do the policies and research of certain departments or certain programs that we are on, in order for us to comply with the law, in order for us to know that we'll not get back all the irregularities. So we need to comply with everything in doing the policies and research. And also we have National Youth Fund. National Youth Fund comprises of education, skills and development. That is where we get your scholarship fund, Solomon Mahlangu scholarship fund. We get your full budget for the FETs or universities, and also the training of artisans and technicians. We do it in the National Youth Fund. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibukwana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Majozi, you've just mentioned in your previous answer that was asked by Honorable Mohabi, skilled and non-skilled youth. And I would like to know from you, if you would take into consideration the current labor market that is prevailing in our country presently, how would you recommend to ensure that the public and private sector prioritizes employment for the youth, for both the skilled and the unskilled youth, with the aim to reduce the youth unemployment because the National Development Plan highlights that having relatively young population is an advantage to the country, provided the majority of working age individuals are gainfully employed. And I suppose you will also touch on strategies that can be followed in that regard. And thank you.
Thank you very much. I think in that sense, in order for us to be able to serve the employed young people and non-employable young people and young people still in school, we need an integration of youth development strategy. That is where it comes in, because an integration youth development strategy, it speaks of all the consolidation and integration of youth development in communities. It speaks of the strength and the capability and capacity of youth development in government policies. And also it speaks of the building of capacity. This building of capacity then comes through to those young people who are unemployed or who are unemployable. That is the building of capacity, because as a country, I think we must not have young people who are unemployable, because that is a damage, because then who will be the future of the country in this sense? Because that is when we get young people who will be artisans, who will be electricians, because we might not all have degrees and PhDs and masters and whatnot, but we need also young people who are skilled. So it comes to that integrated development. And also foster the issue of national cohesion, even though we know that our country is a diverse country and we live in different types of groups of people, but we need to foster that to have a national cohesion in order for us to be able to move on that integration with development strategy. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Jose. Let's talk now of good governance. I would like you to unpack to us your understanding of good governance. What is good governance? Do you believe in good governance? And how would you ensure that good governance becomes the order of the day at the NYCA if you are appointed to the board? How would you ensure that NYCA also implement the prescripts of good governance? And lastly, what are the principles of good governance? What do you understand with the principles of good governance? So there will be three in one. You unpack this for us. What is your understanding of good governance? How would you help at the NYCA apply good governance? And what are the principles of good governance?
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think in my view, good governance, it comprises of principles of compliance and also a commitment in terms of integrity, ethical values, and also monitoring and making sure that each and every department complies with the stated policies, the stated programs maybe of the agents, and also in exercising good leadership in terms of acknowledging that if you are a good leader, then you must know that you need to have a good integrated strategy that will lead young people in that agency. And also in the principles of the good governance, it's accountability. You need to be accountable as an agency. If you have shown that will be giving you a certain budget, then you need to be accountable to say what is it that you have done with that money in operations, in programs, in a youth dialogue that you'll be holding. That is money that needs to be accountable in good governance. And also transparency. Transparency does not mean only onto the shareholders, but also to young people out there that we serve. Because even if it is not the shareholders only that we report on, but also young people must see that the agent is transparent with everything that it does. Even if it's business-wise, whether they are tenders or what, but that tender must be transparent so that young people can feel at ease that the agency actually represents themselves, the agency itself, and young people out there. And also, democracy. We live in the world of democracy, and in good governance, we do need democracy. If young people are democratic in making their own choices, making telling the NYK this is what we want, then the NYK will be able to listen and say, okay, if this is what we want, then maybe this is what we might be able to do up to this far. And then in that sense of democracy, we must allow democracy to take place and not say we hold everything and not be transparent and not be accountable to also these young people that we are talking about. Also, people's participation. When I say people's participation, I mean young people themselves participating in the programs, participating in the dialogue that will be held. It creates part and parcel of good governance, all those things. And also anti-corruption. I believe that anti-corruption is a key principle of good governance, because if the agency does not have anything that leads them to corruption, then young people are able to not have that fear of going to the offices, or not having that fear of applying for a tender or applying for a job. So in that sense, it seeks to help young people to have all those principles in hand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Becky.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good evening, myself. One of the main objectives of the NYG Impact is to develop an integrated development strategy for this country. And you must also provide a guideline for the implementation of this strategy, and also make some recommendations to the president of this country. Can you, in your own understanding, actually, can you elaborate on your understanding in terms of the integrated youth development strategy and why the strategy is important?
Thank you, Honorable Member. The strategy seeks to mainstream youth development in sectors of private sector, government, and civil society. And also, the strategy seeks to build the capacity of young people, in youth development, in the sense that when the agency provides a young person with a business, then that young person is able to come back and say, I'm contributing to the economy of the country, because of it, then it has gotten that solution in the integrated development strategy. And also the consolidation of youth development in all spheres. I believe that when we talk about integrated youth development, we must talk of all the sectors that are there in the country, so that young people can be visible in each and every sector that is provided in the country. So when we talk of the integrated youth development, and the mainstreaming of all these development strategies, then it boils out to all the places of South Africa, of which is the civil society, the private sector, and the government itself. So I forgot the follow-up question. The strategy is important because it shows good leadership in the agency, and also it will mainstream each and every program that are there into complying with everything that is on the policy. The strategy is important because it will build up a young people's life into having youth development programs that will build up the young people's life. I'm not sure if maybe I'm...
Thank you for patiently answering the question. Honorable one. Just switch off the mic.
Yeah, I never watched that. And let him come. It means be bad. My question is based on the National Youth Policy 2020 vision. And since I'm a former member of the board, I'm sure you're quite aware of the policy. I won't give any background. But I just want you to share with this panel your understanding of the objectives of the National Youth Policy, and how do you think the board should achieve these objectives? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The objectives of the National Youth Policy is to consolidate and integrate youth development in policies and also in their well-being in the country. And also, I think this I've mentioned before, also to foster the national cohesion. And even if we know that, we acknowledge that we are a diverse country, but we must foster the national cohesion of young people, and also to consolidate an integrated youth development in making sure that we maintain young people's lives and make sure that we monitor all the programs that are happening and evaluate also all the programs that are happening in the agency itself. So I think having the national policy objectives, it helps the agency because then it aligns all the programs of the agency into making sure that we follow these objectives and we follow how then they should be done, because they speak of EU development. They speak of how we integrate the non-racialism, the non-sexism, and young women, young people with disabilities. How do we then integrate all these young people into one and make sure that we create a youth that is developed in the country through those objectives of the NYP? And in the agency, it helps also to have that, because it also builds a capacity building in terms of having this youth development. Because young people, we must know that we've got young people who are employed, as I said before, unemployable and so forth. But if we have these capacities that build up young people, then we are able to say all these objectives must be in the agency and they will mainstream young people have into the agenda, I think.
Thank you. The last question is from Honorable Mukoli.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Welcome. No, my question is around the matter of principle, both the National Youth Development Agency Act and the National Policy as principles. And these principles are different. And when you are implementing these principles, there have been a fight or a battle of ideas about the direction of the policy. Now, what if you are employed? What new we are going to do to make sure that you change the image and the perception that people have on the National Development Agency based on its own principles and the principles that are based in the National Development Agency?
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think maximizing the number of offices and making sure that we reach each and every young person, geographical spread and so forth, that we make sure that each and every young person knows about the NYDA, and making sure that we increase a number of youth dialogues that are happening throughout South Africa, so that people, young people are able to say that these products and services are products that speak to us or are products that do not speak to us. And in terms of that, I think that is the only way that you can be able to say, I myself can come to the NYD and say, if we have local offices, local youth offices working with the municipalities, in all municipalities, making sure that in each and every municipality we have a local youth office that will be there, and young people will be getting their products and services that we provide as the NYDA, so that they don't see an NYDA as an animal, but they see an NYDA that will actually help them build their own lives, that will actually mainstream lives into making sure that the youth development takes part. So I think in that sense, if we make the mind offices, it does not mean that we must build all branches, but with working with the municipalities, it will work also, because then we will be reaching a broader number of young people who live in different types of provinces, who now at this point in time do not know about the NYDA, and who seek help to go to school, who seek help to have their own businesses, who seek help to have their own cooperatives as a group, who seek help to be an entrepreneur. So up until maybe we reach that percentage to say, if we have reached 90% or 95% of all these young people, then we'll say that the NYDA will be well known in South Africa. And that will minimize the negative perception, because then young people will be informed of what NYDA is doing, instead of maybe being in the social media and not knowing what NYDA is doing. Because I know others have Facebook, but they don't even go to the page of the NYDA and search on what is it that, what programs can they go to, what is it that they can do. Even in the urban areas, it's not always only in the rural areas, even urban areas, young people are naive in that sense. So if we have all these outreach programs, then they will help in terms of building up to knowing that there is an NYDA that helps people. There's not an NYDA that is on its own and has its own branches for their own people, no. But it's an NYDA that is created to help all young people who live in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Majorzi. Ms. Majorzi, as part of this process, the committee has resolved to do the screening checks on all the applicants. And I think it's an issue that we also raised in our advert, that applicants who are going to be shortlisted will be subjected to security. Now, there's a matter that arose from that process, which we would like you to clarify regarding the credit record. I'm not sure whether you are aware, I don't want to read it out, but there's some 1, 2, 3 in your name, or on your name. Can you just clarify us on that? If you are aware of it,
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether I'm aware of that, but I think I had the credit checks when firstly I got into the NYDA, but all those debts were fully paid, so I'm not sure of.
Yeah, just go through the name.
No, okay. Oh no, I don't have anything with Vodacom. I don't even use Vodacom. The only thing I had with Vodacom was their SIM card for data, and it went off. I took it to them, and they never came back to me. That's the only thing that I have. These two, I know of them. That is why I say it was from the previous time. So I'm not sure why are they still listed here, because I don't have any accounts.
But they've been resolved.
Yes. A long time ago, that's 2014, I think. Yes.
Okay.
I even have the statement.
Are you able to give us proof that those have been resolved?
I don't know, maybe I can email my statements or so.
Okay.
Yeah, because
no,
I do have.
If you have proof that they
have
been resolved, you can let us liaise with that administration.
Okay.
And then send that proof.
Okay. But with Vodacom, I had a data SIM card only, and I returned it, so I don't know, because it was not working. And
okay.
Then I complained about it, I returned the data SIM card, and that was it.
Alright.
Yeah.
Alright, just send us the proof as soon as you can. Preferably by the time when your committee deliberates, we should, that record will be very important.
Okay.
But otherwise, I don't know whether members want to follow up, but that was the follow up from the chair. So I guess that's all. Thank you very much, Ms. Majoli, for coming. As you know, that before you leave, I just want to go through the formalities with you. That you know that the committee is going to deliberate, do a report, go to Parliament. After Parliament is approved, it will be sent to the President, and if the President approves, then the members will be then formally appointed, those who are successful. So if you are successful, and you said in the previous call, so the same process will be followed. Yeah, thank you very much. I saw a hand.